But in the studio also, we've got Karen and we've got Sally of Essex Business Partnerships. Sally, hello.
Good afternoon, Joe. How are you?
All good. All good now the rain's stopped. How are you doing, Karen, as well?
I'm fine, thank you, Joe. How are you?
All good. So, Sally, got a bit of a special show going on today, haven't we?
We have. We thought we'd bring in one of our members to talk a little bit about HR for those people that have businesses and looking at recruiting. So, yes, we brought Amanda Waite in from HR Suite.
Nice one. So you're going to tell us, because there's all different, so much stuff going on, Amanda, isn't there, at the moment?
Yeah, I mean, that's really what we were talking about in the last meeting, is there's quite a lot of legislation coming in the new year, and really we haven't got very long for businesses to prepare for that. So there's quite a lot of things around maternity and family leave, flexible working, and particularly the Worker Protection Act 2023 is coming in.
So that is coming in really soon, isn't it? Because it was all just approved in Parliament, wasn't it?
That's right. So some of the legislation that I'm talking about is coming in April. Some of it July, some of it October. But the point is there's quite a lot coming in and you need time to prepare.
Yeah, but it's a positive thing because obviously it's to protect the workforce, right?
So yeah. One of the things I talk quite a lot to people about is the fact that we spend so much time at work. We need it to reflect society, and society is changing quite rapidly, actually, and certainly in recent years. Hybrid working, who knew about that years ago?
Zoom.
So the point is everybody has to be adaptable and flexible, and actually as human beings we don't really enjoy change too much. So I try, as I say to the ladies, to make HR a bit more fun and move away from prescriptive policies. Yes, we need to have some, but have actually more guidelines and guidance instead of policies.
So you support companies basically to put them in the right infrastructure, right?
Yeah, as a bare minimum.
Yeah.
That's what I like to do, is make sure that we're preventative and we put the right things in place that you need to have. But more than that, I'd rather work out an HR strategy because if you're going to be an employer, it's not just a one-time thing.
Yeah. So this legislation, so it protects people in the workplace as well, doesn't it? So it's for women and non-binary people as well.
That's right. It's about being inclusive today. So whenever we talk in general, we talk in general terms about men and women, males, females. But of course, even those ideas are changing. So whenever we talk, it's always making sure that we're inclusive with our language. That can include people that don't even identify with a particular gender, non-binary. So it's about getting the language right and respecting people and making sure everybody has a safe place to work, because why would you want it any other way?
I know. It's crazy because sexual harassment as well is experienced by 40%. I'm actually reading that percentage. I'm terrible with stats and figures, but it's 40% of women in the workplace as well. Now, this is staggering, this one. 68% of disabled women and LGBTQ plus workers have experienced workplace harassment as well in their lifetime. I know I have, of a couple of those categories as well, experienced those in my lifetime. Protection, right? Is that how you got started?
Yeah, talking about it, because we were saying, you know, I actually made the comment that, tell me an adult female that hasn't experienced this something they don't want in their lifetime, and like you say, more than once. And that's not just women, actually, it's men, it's LGBTQ, everyone. So I think the thing is, Generation Z, which is my daughter's generation, actually, this young lady in the studio here.
Shout out to Emily.
Yeah, shout out to Emily. They're a lot less tolerant, and so they should be.
Yeah.
We need women in the workplace. We need women to feel safe in the workplace. We need everybody to feel safe in the workplace. That should be the case.
Yeah.
It's quite unbelievable it's not. So I mean, there's too many examples where that hasn't been the case. So
well, it's all about representation as well. So if you're not under the board, well, under the board table, if your feet are not under the board table, then you're not having the right representation as well. But just because you're a woman as well doesn't mean that you're going to represent every woman, you know, because we've all got different layers of generations, different experiences as well. So you can't just have one token woman on a board, right?
And that's it comes back to those general terms, but at the same time, we're actually now in a 5-generation workforce for the first time ever. Yeah. And even within that, you could say, well, the people at the older age range, they're a particular stereotype, and then Gen Z. But of course, you will always have exceptions to the rule. And actually, going back to the policies being guidance, it's about picking the policy up when it's right for you. So a menopause policy will mean nothing to Emily right now, other than potentially it's affecting her life through her mum. Which, by the way, our mum's never told us anything about menopause. No. So hooray that we're talking about it at last. Because there's more women in the workforce now. We're there for longer because of the retirement age. It's not just about that one thing ever. I always like to contextualise it for employers and say, well, if you don't treat employees well, they'll leave you, and that costs you more than if you treat them well and they stay.
Absolutely. So I know with West Ham, they just won an award from the Premier League being inclusive, and they actually have a lot of women working from them over a certain age as well that have menopause. So they have like awareness classes, stuff like that coming in. So, you know, a lot of workplaces are starting to kind of get it now and understand the value of women that are working and have been working for a company for 20, 30 years.
That's right. And I wish I had the benefit of some of the family-friendly policies. But likewise, actually, I think probably so do men. I think they're really enjoying the fact that they get to take their children to school occasionally. Yeah. There's benefits for everyone and as a society.
Yeah. Regarding terminology especially, it's something I always ramble on about quite a bit, making sure that you get the terminology right, because things do change. So it's great, because I think the last time that the legislation changed, I think, was it like 2010, wasn't it?
That's
something
right.
like that. That's a long time. A lot has changed in the past 13 years, Amanda. You must have seen that.
Yep. I mean, that's it. It changes yearly.
Yeah.
The scary thing is that a lot has changed, but a lot hasn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As well.
And that's why you got involved, Karen, then, as well, right?
Yeah, that's it. I mean, that's where our conversation was, is that we're older women that, you know, have tried to raise children, and we're still perceived in a certain way. One of my favourite things to say is that we actually know the term really well, working mum. We rarely use the term working dad.
No.
And yet they are.
Yeah, it's about equality. We keep saying that, and parity, right? But it's a long way to go till we all get that language right, isn't it? So people still won't use that. But it's these conversations that do help the change. And with these legislations, and with what you do, Amanda, as well, and being part of the network, it helps to spread the word.
Yeah, I think so. And what's really nice is that they're open to me coming along and doing a little bit of an education piece. I talk about it being an education piece because there's still a lot of people out there that haven't heard some of the terminology or don't really know the right thing to say. And I'm actually a workplace mediator as well. And actually through that work, I look at it more as an education thing. So instead of going down a grievance route, we actually have the two people together. Maybe one's been offended by something someone else has said. And actually there's so much power in hearing how that felt by the other person. Yeah. It's about perspectives and understanding a little bit about your world.
That's it. Because you're all in your own little bubbles wherever you are. So ultimately it's about once you realise, I hate the word offended as well, because it's like, oh, look, you've offended me. But it's not. If it affects you is the way that I always say something, rather than offended. I think that means more, because it affects the way you feel, the way you then react in your workplace or your club or whatever you do. So what has really sort of surprised you, or what have you come up against and thought, oh my goodness, I can't believe you wasn't aware of that? You don't have to name the person or the company, obviously.
I think just generally, you do get quite a lot of deals still on the golf course, and that being a male domain. I still regularly hear of a male dominated industry, and it's like, how many male dominated industries are there still? That kind of thing actually really still surprises me. I still see men talking to men at networking, and it's quite imposing as a woman to go into that space. There's equally plenty of times where I've thought, wow, this is really nice, actually. I don't feel, some of it is how I feel about going into that space.
Sure.
And I've got to overcome that. So it's difficult, because some of it's our perception, some of it is is truly there.
It's like a spidey sense sometimes, though, when we've experienced it for so long. The older we get, the more experienced we are.
I know, and we also get a bit less tolerant of it as well, I think.
I know, right? It's harder to start really, and especially like dealing with, like I spent the weekend with my niece as well, and seeing someone that's in their 20s, you know, dealing with this still. And it's really hard. You know, we feel like we haven't actually come that far. So with your business and what you're doing with Essex Business Partnerships as well, really works, because we're here now talking about it, aren't we?
Absolutely. It is all about just education, spreading the word and making people realise, yes, this is real, but also what can we do about it? How can we change it? What is the information you need? Same as if I was talking to somebody as part of the protests, for example, in London at the moment, I don't really have too much understanding of that experience, the Ukraine war either, with the people coming over here. I have no idea what it's like. And it's just about actually communicating.
Yeah.
Let's talk.
It's a basic thing, right?
Yeah.
Let's have an understanding, see what's going on. I think that's what it takes, conversations.
Yeah.
Talking of conversations, that's what you do, Sally, isn't it? And that's what you do well. Sorry, Karen. Yeah, I'm looking at Karen and saying...
I'm saying Sally. That's okay. We're used to it now.
Yeah. Well, you do come as a pair, don't you, when you come into the studio? So there you go. Yeah. So how did you get to meet Amanda then? And how is that working within the networking of your business?
So, Amanda, how did you hear about us?
Oh, God. I think maybe through Best Growth Hub. Something like that. One of the signposting business things in Essex County Council are really good, actually. They do quite a lot to help businesses and support small businesses, bearing in mind, actually, it's probably about 90% of our economy, isn't it? And I think that's how come. But what I liked was the fact that they've got meetings in quite a few different areas. So, for example, the other week I went to the one in Chelmsford and the one in Wickford, and whilst that familiarity of having someone I know there, equally there were people I had never met before.
Yeah.
And that's what I really like about it.
Yeah. So like you say, it gives you that, it's like you can go in as a gang. You feel a little bit more confident.
We because are
you,
getting that
you,
way,
you're
aren't
aware
we?
That, yeah, I think more than anything else as well, that you're then aware that the safe, you've got a safe space. I think that's really, because
as a woman, like, I think that's what I'm saying.
It's tough,
is
it?
Yeah, it's hard to walk in those environments. Sometimes I look at networking online, someone's put a dumb picture, I'm like, you need more women in the room.
Yeah.
Where are the women? And actually, we're really building quite a close-knit community. It's quite nice, actually.
That's brilliant to hear.
And we do try to be incredibly inclusive as well. So we work really hard at welcoming people, new people, whoever they are.
Yeah, men, women, non-binary.
Yeah, absolutely. Everyone come.
Yeah, brilliant stuff. Look, it's the first time you've been to the studio, Amanda. So I've asked you what request you'd like. Can you remember what it was? I know what it is.
I know it's Fleetwood Mac.
Fleetwood Mac.
You make loving fun.
Yeah, listen, Karen, I've looked at the right person this time. Sally and Amanda, thank you so much for coming along. If you've just tuned in and thought, oh, that sounds like an interesting conversation that I've missed there, don't worry, it'll be up online tomorrow with all the relevant links. Is there anything you'd like to say last, Sally or Karen?
Thank you for having me.
Nothing to add, but thanks to Amanda.
Brilliant.
Yeah, thank you.
Cheers. Thanks very much.